It's a wonderful song and a wonderful introduction to our message this morning entitled At Calvary. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We'll begin reading in verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. I want to use the words of verse 36 for our text this morning. And sitting down, they watched him there. Spectators at the cross. Spectators at Calvary. Get here early. Get the choice seats. Make yourself comfortable. Sit down. And enjoy the show. Because this is the greatest show on earth. This is the most spectacular event of all time, unraveling right here before your eyes. Sitting down, they watched him there. This was the first time in all of man's history that God had ever allowed himself to be handled by men whom he'd created. And when they got their hands on him, they nailed him to a cross and crucified him. The creator of all things. The one who in the beginning had said, let there be light. And there was light. He made all things. Without him was not anything made that was made. But now, they've laid wicked hands on the Maker and have nailed them to the cross. They watched him there. As they watched him, what did they see? What did they see? They saw the opening of a fountain that had been foretold by Zechariah in chapter 13, verse 1. He said, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. The waters, the living waters of this fountain will cleanse from sin and cleanse from all uncleanness. The waters were flowing freely, but unfortunately, they didn't recognize it. This was the fountain of living waters spoken of by Jeremiah in chapter 2, verse 13, and also in chapter 17, verse 13. This was the fountain of life spoken of by David in Psalm 36, verse 9. That scripture that inspired a man by the name of William Cowper to write the beautiful words of a song that we sing. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What did they see as they watched him there? They saw the blood as it flowed from his thorn-crowned brow. They saw the blood as it dripped from the wounds in his hands and in his feet, and from his feet that were nailed to the cross. They saw the blood and the water that flowed from his side when it was pierced by the spear of the Roman soldier. But they didn't see the fountain. Their eyes were closed. They didn't realize the power that was in that blood. Power to wash us and cleanse us from all of our sin. Power to purchase the church of God. Power that justifies the sinner and makes him righteous in the sight of Almighty God. They saw it, but they didn't see it. It's through that blood that was shed that we have the forgiveness of sins. It's through that blood that we have peace with God and are reconciled to God. It was that blood that purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It was that blood that gives us boldness to enter into the holiest. It's that blood in which we wash our robes and make them white. Never underestimate the power of that blood. That fountain is still flowing today, deep and wide, as the little children used to sing it. But they didn't see it. What did they see as they sat and watched him there? They saw the fulfilling of Scripture. The prophets had foretold his suffering and his death. And Matthew had said that these things were done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. They saw Scripture being fulfilled before their very eyes. He had been betrayed by his familiar friend in fulfillment of Psalm 41, verse 9. He had been sold for 30 pieces of silver in fulfillment of Zechariah 11, 12. He'd been accused by false prophets and false witnesses in fulfillment of Psalm 27, verse 12. He had been hated without a cause in fulfillment of Psalm 69, verse 4. He had been smitten and spit upon by the people in fulfillment of Isaiah 50 and verse 6. As they looked there, they saw him on the middle cross with a transgressor crucified on either side of him. In fulfillment of Isaiah 53, verse 12. They watched him there and saw his hands and his feet as they were pierced, in fulfillment of Psalm 22, verse 16. We read it. They gave him vinegar mingled with gall to drink, in fulfillment of Psalm 69, verse 21. They saw the soldiers as they cast lots for his clothes at the foot of the cross in fulfillment of Psalm 22, verse 18. Sitting down, they watched him there as the scriptures were fulfilled. They pierced his side in fulfillment of Zechariah 12, verse 10. And then when he was taken down from the cross, he was buried in Joseph's new tomb in fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and verse 9. And these are just some of the prophecies that were fulfilled during these tragic hours that Jesus was on the cross. And sitting down, they watched him there and they saw the scriptures being fulfilled, but it didn't enter into their minds. They either didn't know their scriptures or their eyes were blinded that they should not see their fulfillment as they watched him suffer and die. They didn't make the connection. As they sat there and watched him, all of a sudden there was a curtain of darkness that was drawn upon the whole earth that lasted for a period of 3 hours. They saw the darkness, but they did not see the light in the darkness. That dense darkness that covered the earth darkened their hearts. But Jesus is the light of the world. He that followeth me, he said, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light. And in the presence of that light, the darkness must flee away when Jesus comes. He is that light that shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend or overcome, according to John chapter 1 and verse 5. He is the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. He's the light that Paul saw on the road to Damascus. But those who do evil love the darkness. And the greatest evil that man can do was perpetrated right there in their presence during the darkness of that day as they crucified the Son of God. But they didn't know it. They watched him die, but they didn't see him, for darkness shrouded their hearts. As they watched him there, they saw the weakness of the flesh, but not the power that kept him on the cross. It was not the nails, but it was his love for people like you and me that held him to that cross that day. It was not those cruel nails. It was his desire to please the Father that held him to that cross that day. He could have called 10,000 angels, and they could have delivered him in a moment's time. They saw the weakness, but not the strength. They saw the suffering of the cross, but not the joy. Somehow or other, they got a sadistic pleasure out of seeing all of that pain that was inflicted upon him. How would you like to have been there and seen that suffering for yourself? Could you not feel with him as he endured the suffering and the pain of that crucifixion? And yet, they pleasured themselves at watching him suffer on that cross. They saw the suffering, but they did not see the joy that was unspeakable and full of glory that filled his heart that day. Because Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 tells us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. They saw his suffering, but not the joy of his heart. And as they watched him there, they saw him die. They saw his death, but they did not see the life that came from that death. Jesus there on the cross, they heard him as he cried out, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. His body no longer felt the pain. His suffering was ended. The nails didn't hurt anymore. He was bringing many sons to glory. He had tasted death for every man, that we might have life everlasting. That corn of wheat fell into the ground and died at Calvary, but it's going to bring forth much fruit. And you and I that are here today are the fruit of that death.
Amen.
They watched him, the fountain of living waters, as he cried out from that cross, "I thirst." But they did not hear his invitation in John chapter 4, where he said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." They didn't see that there at the cross. The last invitation in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Remember that? The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Doesn't cost you anything. Many people today, sad to say, are like those spectators at Calvary that day that Jesus was crucified and sitting down. They watched him there. They watch, but they do not see. I think that's what caused Paul to write over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 these wonderful words. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What do you see when you look at the cross? Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these blessed words that have been preserved and recorded for us in the Word of God. We thank you that today we can come and join the multitude who sat down and watched him there. And as we have watched him, as he suffered and bled and died, what have we seen? What have we seen? Have we seen that notable miracle that will change our hearts and our lives and change us from sinners into saints and transform us from the children of the devil into the children of God? Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the love that held him to the cross. Thank you for the love that caused you in the first place to send your only begotten Son into this world to save us from our sins. And Heavenly Father, if there is one here in this congregation today who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray that today your Holy Spirit may have spoken to their hearts and showed them Jesus dying for our sins on the cross, shedding his blood that our souls might be redeemed. Yes. Father, move today. Let the power of the blood come upon this congregation and let us know that Jesus lives. He lives within our hearts. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Number 417 in our hymnal this morning for the invitation. 417.